resorts and casinos. Nothing else comes close.
From the Wynn in Vegas, we are rolling on hour two of Sabres Live on the heels of GM Kevin Adams. In the last hour, we have Darren Dreger, our hockey insider, so it must be Thursday. I think it's Thursday.
Is it Thursday?
I hope it's Thursday. So I think Kevin was pretty open with us about, you know, in his words, some deals that they thought they might have had in place in the last 7 days that didn't materialize. Obviously, we're talking about a buyout window now that is open through to June 30th. Where do you see the Sabres right now with the buyout window and or some of these trades that may not have happened yet for them, but could still be percolating?
Well, and that's the right way to describe percolating, right? Adams is in on a number of conversations. I don't think he's close on any one player. I know we discussed last night on TSN the possibility of Martin Natchez with the Carolina Hurricanes being a good fit with the Buffalo Sabres. I feel like that's probably more coming from Carolina's perspective than it is Buffalo. Not to say that Adams doesn't have interest in Natchez. I mean, you know, he can be, should be a dynamic young forward, so we can all appreciate what the fit is. But I don't get the sense that there's anything close or certainly not imminent. But he'll continue to have that dialogue with Eric Tulsky with the Hurricanes. As far as the buyout is concerned for me, that's the most compelling storyline around the Buffalo Sabres. And clearly we're talking about Jeff Skinner here, right? Now, here's what complicates it, as you guys know. You know, a buyout is a simple process. It's an expensive one, and it grants freedom to the player, clearly. And Jeff Skinner is still a very good NHL player. But before you get to the conclusion or the decision of buying out a player, you have to exhaust whatever you think the market is for that player. Now, what complicates it even more is that Skinner has a no-move clause. So I believe there's trade interest in Jeff Skinner. I think that there's definitely been conversations with other general managers, but maybe in this case, the player's like, nah, I don't think so. That's not the right fit for me. And I'm not going to throw out any teams or any of that. But I also look at it from Skinner's perspective, and I can appreciate why he wouldn't be willing to waive a no move. You know, unless it's, okay, you're going to the Florida Panthers, you have an opportunity to win a Stanley Cup, or the Dallas Stars, or Vegas, or go down the list of the top contending teams, why wouldn't he just embrace the idea of a buyout and then look at the full open market in free agency? But as we've established here, Duffer, I mean, the window hasn't closed yet, right?
Correct.
So Adams does have some time until the 30th of June to see if Skinner is willing to move.
There's the Bobby Bonilla story. I mean, we talked about Vinny LeCavalier. We ran into him in Vegas yesterday. He's still getting paid from his buyout from the Tampa Bay Lightning years ago. He still has three more years of $1.7 million a year, right? There's guys that are saying, yeah, buyout is not a bad thing.
No.
I'm just guaranteeing myself money long term.
Sure.
And I'll see if I can re-sign somewhere else, as Jeff Skinner may have that opportunity. So I agree with, and Kevin just mentioned it on the show. He said, hey, he has a no movement clause. Yeah. We are talking with other teams, but everything that we talk about, we have to go back to Jeff Skinner and his agent and see if that's a possibility. So it slows down the process
it
in that way.
Yep.
So what do you both think then of the exploration of a trade for Jeff? And if they somehow land on that perfect spot and Jeff goes, oh, I'd be open to this.
Right.
There would have to be an assumption here that Buffalo would be retaining a lot of money on this, right?
Yep.
So how do you think, Marty, from a Sabres standpoint, they balance what's best here for us? Continuing to pay a portion of his salary, you know, for an extended period of time, presumably not a major asset coming back in return, or just opting for the buyout?
So the max you can retain is 50%, so it would be $4.5 million over the next 3 years. Well, we all know that this year, the cap hit, if you bought out Jeff Skinner, would be $1.5 million. It would go up to $4.5 and $6.5. So those are the first 3 years. So you could retain 50% and say it's $4.5, $4.5, $4.5, or you go $1.5, $4.5, $6.5.
Right.
Like you're balancing that out. And retaining $4.5 million over 3 years is $13.5 million.
Mm-hmm.
You would have to pay Jeff Skinner $14 million in a buyout.
It's all pretty close.
So
here,
it's
right?
really close. Yeah. So, but could you find a team that says we can only we'll retain 25%, one quarter?
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden the numbers look a lot better by retaining a quarter as opposed to retaining a half. But you know, there's bad contracts around the NHL.
Sure.
Like Patrick Laine could be on the move. He's got 2 years at 8.25, and Jacob Trouba 2 years at $8 million. Do you think it's more likely that you're taking in a bad contract or you're just moving a player with retained salary?
Well, maybe both, yeah. right? Just to make it work. Because if we're talking about Patrick Laine, with all due respect, he's still in the program, which mm-hmm. complicates, again, yes. the entire process here. But my understanding is that the teams with interest, and there are teams with interest in Laine, as there should be, mm-hmm. are exactly looking for a significant retention, upwards of 50%.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure that's going to fly, but Don Waddell and the Columbus Blue Jackets feel like they've got time on their side. Jacob Trouba, this one has the potential to get ugly, in my opinion, because, you know, I can't get into the details, but there's family reasons behind Jacob Trouba not wanting to leave the New York Rangers mm-hmm. just yet. Now, he's got some no-trade protection that does kick in, I believe.
This year.
Yeah, this year.
15 but, teams in 24, yes. 25, and yeah. then 12 team yeah. in 25, 26.
Yeah. So I think the workload now shifts over to the agent, Kurt Overhart, who's probably on the phone with every team in the National Hockey League to say, here's the situation that Jacob Trouba is dealing with. And it's a very personal and family-related scenario. Do you really want to take that on?
Mm-hmm.
No, do you really want it? A year from now, the belief is that any issue that Trouba currently has won't be there, mm-hmm. and then he'd be more open to the idea of being flexible and helping the New York Rangers out. Mm-hmm. But we're not talking about a player here that is at the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, what is he, a third-pairing guy for the New York Rangers?
He's the captain of
but
the
he's
Rangers.
The, I mean, he's, yeah. you know, he just won the Mark Messier Award, right, yeah. for, mm-hmm. you know, the
leadership.
Character and everything. And then, and honestly, that's what's confusing the market.
Yes.
The managers around the league going, wait a minute, like, why are they doing this?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they have the insatiable appetite of challenging for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
And they know what their wants and their needs are. They just don't have unlimited cap space, so you have to get ruthless at times.
Which they did with Gaudreau.
They did that with Barkley. I mean,
That was ugly.
That was ugly.
He was mad.
Right.
He was
but it's also straight ahead business.
I
yes,
got time
exactly.
for it. I got
so,
time for it.
Just to get back on the Skinner all scenarios
yeah.
you know, realm here, and especially because of the trades we've seen the last 2 days of the giving away of Mikheyev,
yeah.
you know, incentivizing it for the other team just so you can get some cap relief. Same thing with Detroit, right? They took future considerations while
yeah.
giving away Walman and a pick.
Right.
Like, if, again, Buffalo found a sweet spot for Jeff, whatever, Team X, is there a scenario where you would see Skinner and a pick or and
like a sweetener?
A prospect
yeah.
to go to that team for what? Futures? You know what I mean?
Well,
and how much of that team, of that cap hit is that team taking? How
right.
much are you retaining?
Yeah.
How sweet do you have to make this for the scenarios to unfold where a team is happy with Jeff, Jeff is happy with the team,
yeah.
ownership in Buffalo is happy that they're not just doing a buyout.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's a perfect storm, and it's unlikely to happen in that
is
sense.
Is it, though?
You can work and work and work. You're under time crunch here, too, as well, because
yeah.
the draft is Friday, tomorrow. So you're hoping by round one, maybe you have that in place, if not by round two. If not, on Sunday by 5 o'clock, you have to have put your buyout in. So
right.
I think you're working in a 72-hour window.
Okay, there's two things here. One, why would the player waive unless, again, he's going to the perfect scenario?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he negotiated in good faith the terms and the protection that
yeah.
is inside the contract.
Yeah.
So if Buffalo doesn't have a need or a want or a use for Jeff Skinner anymore, all right, buy me out and I'll go to the open market. That's one side of it. But here's what fuels the possibilities that you're throwing out there. Rob Blake just traded Pierre-Luc Dubois to the Washington Capitals in a 1-for-1. There wouldn't have been anyone involved in the National Hockey League that thought that he could move that contract, Pierre-Luc
Especially
Dubois,
not in a 1-for-1.
In a 1-for-1.
Yeah.
And get out from under it. So because of that, I think the scenarios that you've just described and illustrated here are plausible, provided that Newport and Jeff Skinner are willing to even consider it. Mm-hmm. And based on the conversation you guys had with Kevin Adams and the one I had shortly thereafter, doesn't sound like that's going to happen.
Yeah, it sounds like it's that no movement clause is definitely a sticky point, and that the player is...
As it should be.
It is. Like, for whatever reason, personal, professional,
yeah.
Just, hey, I earned it, and I don't want to go. Like, I don't have to say yes. So I think that comes into play, obviously. But what else are you hearing? Like, we are getting close to the first round tomorrow.
Yeah.
You know? The awards are tonight, but that's a whole other thing.
Sure.
Sabres 11th pick. Kevin says we've told everybody.
Yeah.
It's in play.
Yeah.
What can they get for that 11th pick? Can they go straight up for Nick Ehlers? Can they go straight up for Travis Konechny? Is there more that needs to be added? Like, those are the players that our fan base and our market in Buffalo are saying, hey, that would be a great fit for the Sabres to be able to make that jump in the playoffs.
Yeah, I mean, any of that is possible. I mean, every time I ask Danny Briere and the Philadelphia Flyers about connecting, I get the same response.
Nope.
No. But, you know, look, everybody has a sticker price, right? So at some point, and if you're the Philadelphia Flyers, even though for a good chunk of last year they overachieved, they know where they're at. They're still very much in that renovating mode. So a first-round pick, especially 11th overall, has to get your attention in some capacity. It is going to be interesting, though, to see what happens on the draft floor tomorrow with those potential pieces in play. You know, you've got the New Jersey Devils, the 10th pick overall. Is Tom Fitzgerald willing to part with that? It all depends. When you're talking about the top 15 picks, you better be getting a heck of a player coming back as part of that trade. Or it depends on who goes in the top five. Mm-hmm. If all of a sudden a player slips that you just weren't expecting to be available in that 6, 7, 8, maybe 9 spot, mm-hmm. Well, now you can see how the picks get flipped.
Isn't that dangerous to fall in love with certain prospect if you're at 11, 12, 13, and saying like, oh, because we love that prospect so much, we're not going to make that deal.
So now when you talk about Winnipeg, you're talking about McGroarty, right?
Well,
is that what you're thinking of with the 11th pick, or I'm thinking
more like Ehlers would be a player that could come in and help right away. But
agreed.
McGroarty is a prospect that has said basically, I want to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
And he's a good prospect.
He is a good prospect, and that's a confusing one because, as you would expect, one of the first questions that any amateur scouting group or the general manager asks, especially in a small Canadian market, is, are you okay as an American hockey player coming into Canada, small market Canada? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is yes, and you like the player and you like the character of the player, which we know Winnipeg did, you draft him where they draft him. So I don't know all the details there, but there is some confusion.
Happens in the U.S. too, remember? Connor Gaudier last year in Philly.
Yeah,
Philly was my favorite team. I grew up a Flyers fan a year later. I grew up a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, and I'm out. I'm going to Anaheim.
And not to derail the segment here, but I have a lot of time. You know, we just talked about Jeff Skinner digging in and holding on to his no-move clause because, again, negotiated in good faith. Mm-hmm. These young players that are drafted high have never had more swagger than they have right now, right? And they just simply say, I'm not going to sign here. Cutter Gauthier, I'm not going to sign in Philadelphia, so that's up to you. I can either go free when the window opens up for me, and that's essentially the message that's coming from McGroarty as well.
I blame the agents.
Yeah, if you're Shovel Day off in Winnipeg, I'd find a way to move that player.
Really quick, and thank you. We've had a lot of good topics hit on already, but next thing to fall in the goalie dominoes world, what are you thinking?
Yeah. I mean, the Ullmark trade to Ottawa was something else. Like, good.
Unbelievable.
Give the Ottawa Senators credit. And I do a lot of Ottawa radio, and now the angst in that market is, okay, well, we got the star goalie. How do we extend him?
Yeah.
Right? And, yeah. I mean, we'll see if they can or if they can't. I don't care. Either way, they've got an elite-level goaltender for a year.
Yep.
And, yeah, they gave up some assets, but end of the day, mm-hmm. they got rid of a contract in Korpisalo as well. So, when I look at the goalie carousel and the teams that are looking for an upgrade, I mean, Brad Treliving openly talked about it yesterday. He did. He just said, we've got to do something in that market. I'm looking at Anthony Stolarz, mm-hmm. Just won the Stanley Cup. Money is so tight in Florida, and as we know, they've got big issues with Reinhart and Montour. I think Stolarz would be number one on Toronto's wish list.
Okay.
And then, as Noodles calls him, Larry Brossoit, mm-hmm. But Winnipeg also needs the backup. Because
not French, so you may as well call him Larry. Yeah.
So, I mean, it is going to be an interesting carousel to see how that all shakes down, because you've got who else? Casey DeSmith. I mean, go down the list of, some of the goals.
I've got Samsonov as a UFA. That's like Stolarz, Brossoit, Samsonov, UFA.
And I still think Aiden Hill's going to end
up
moving.
Well, trades. I have Freddie Anderson.
Yeah.
Would be a goalie to move.
Good luck.
Elvis Merzlikins, because Columbus.
Yeah, but Don's been very loyal in his commentary to him.
And
so.
I have Aiden Hill and John Gibson, four goalies in the trades. I have seven names right now that until July 1
and you
or
consider
two,
three big ones have already moved. I mean, so you're talking... This
Kemper, Markstrom, Allmark. Yeah. So I'm thinking, like, there's a 10-pack right here that could change
That's
places.
Quite a bit. That is quite a bit. And then there's obviously going to be a lot of battle behind them for just to stay. Like, the Joe Wall situation, obviously, Weeksy had tweeted about a possible extension earlier in the week.
Well, he's dialed in there, right? Like, Weeksy has the goalie market nailed down.
But when you saw that report, like, what did you think of the number that Wall could get here on an extension? And then it's potential pronounced impact on others who need deals, i.e. Buffalo's Luukkonen.
Yeah.
Luukkonen's played twice as many games in the NHL as Joe Wall has.
It looked high to me, for sure it did. But, they have a high level of belief in Joe Wall. He hasn't been able to prove it yet. And again, Treliving was very open and honest and just said, look, he needs some good luck on his side, and he needs to work harder this offseason to get stronger so that the injury bug doesn't take him out for weeks on end like it did this past season. But if he can stay healthy, they do see him as the goalie of now, not just the goalie of the future. They just need a better-than-average backup to push him a little bit to create that level of competition, but also, if Wall goes down, make sure that he can handle the workload.
Right, which is why you labeled Stolarz as a guy.
And that's why the money would be up there, is they do believe he's the
goalie. And they need a good number three, which they used last year in Martin Jones.
Jones.
And
they
need to get that number three locked up as well.
Mm-hmm. Edmonton, wow. I mean, what is the plan post Ken Holland, and how do you see things evolving on the Draisaitl front?
Yeah, well, if we start with Leon, again, I thought as part of his exit interviews with the media, he was excellent. You know, out of respect, the local media didn't push Leon Draisaitl on his contract at all this season. So that was the time to pepper him with questions, and I thought he said all the right things. He did not commit to staying in Edmonton, nor should he. He's got 1 year remaining on his contract. So what the Oilers plan to do, maybe as early as next week, is if not officially hitting him with a contract extension offer, having that conversation, of course, with his agent, Andy Scott, to get the parameters. But where it'll get even more complicated, though, and it's the word I'm using a lot here in this segment, I know, is what if Leon decides, okay, I like Edmonton, but I like Edmonton at $15, $16 million a year. That's what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And they push back and go, well, obviously we can't give you that because then McDavid is there.
17?
They've got – well, I'm telling you, it like – everybody's talking about Draisaitl getting 13.5. He's getting more than 13.5.
Absolutely, he's getting more than 13.5.
So
I said Draisaitl at 14, McDavid potentially at 16, and then Bouchard at 10. So in 3 years from now, you got to have $40 million between.
Cap will be at $200 million by then, though.
The agents think that.
And you got to find a home then for Darnell Nurse. You've got to move that contract if that's the case. But So the reason that it gets a little dicey and spicy is because. If that number is higher than what we've just talked about, so let's say it's 15, 16, mm-hmm. and Edmonton's comfort is around 13.5, 14. Well, if you know you can't up it to 15, 16, are you going to actually let him walk?
No.
You can't.
You can't trade him.
Yeah. But Connor McDavid would be part of that conversation deeply. And they'll be best buddies forever. There's nothing personal about this. It is a business. But the Edmonton Oilers could be turned upside down very quickly in the months ahead if they can't find a
Duffer
happy place.
Hit me at the start of the show with, what was it, Cousins? Krebs.
I didn't. That was a fan. An ex.
For Leon?
So it was Cousins, yes. Okay. Krebs, the 11th overall pick this year, a top prospect, and I mentioned a first-round pick next year, and it's probably not enough. Like, we're talking about an Eric Lindros-type deal for Leon Draisaitl.
So, I mean, there's all kinds of speculation out there, or speculations, as you like to say.
Speculations.
He's Latvian. He adds an S to everything.
Yeah. These boogers.
I mean, there's an intriguing one, just a nasty rumor that connects, you know, Draisaitl and the Oilers with the Los Angeles Kings, and Byfield could be part of a package coming back. That, I like, that to me is the type of scenario.
So what would that LA do? Okay, so it would be Byfield, it would be Brant Clark, it would be...
well, if you get those two pieces for... Leon, I think you have to be pretty happy, don't you?
Well, you have to.
There's going to be multiple first-round picks.
Well, we're just making it up as we
and
go.
The yes. And the UFA rights to Victor Arvidsson.
Okay.
throw an Artur Kaliev in there. Just
oh, Kaliev's for sure. Yeah, he's
well,
started.
He's going to get traded.
Yeah.
But just to wrap up Edmonton quick on the hockey ops front here.
Yeah.
You know, as we reported, and they made it official, Kenny Holland is not coming back as general manager. I think Kenny's going to work again, though. If not as a GM, maybe... You know, as a president or executive VP of hockey, something along those lines. So what do they do in the front office there? And that's where it gets interesting. We know Jeff Jackson is the head of hockey ops. Does he take the GM role? There's rumors of Stan Bowman finally getting allowed to come back in some capacity.
Okay.
You know, what about Mark Hunter? You know, there's history with Jeff Jackson and the Hunter family. I mean, go down the list. That hockey ops department in Edmonton, I think is going to be unique. Paul Coffey, I don't believe, is going to be back on the bench with the Oilers.
Really?
And he's super tight with Darryl Cates.
Yeah,
super tight with the owner in Edmonton. So that could be a multi-headed monster in charge of hockey ops.
I'll tell you what, even just when you say that, though, I think Paul had a pronounced impact on the bench as an assistant. And it's kind of what you love to see in the game.
Yeah.
And I think more assistant coaches deserve more attention for the details that they help instill, and especially at that position. I enjoyed all the talk about Paul Coffey this year and how he was making players.
And a lot of times, great players don't become good coaches.
Right, and I think that's
why. A guy like Paul Coffey, you could have thought, like, he was so gifted, he didn't have to think the game. And no, he is a thinker. He has a great mind for the game.
I tell you what, it's an excellent point that you're making, because that coaching staff in Edmonton collectively didn't get enough credit. I mean, we always look at the head coach, and at the end of the day, it's Chris Knobloch who's making the final call. But any of the adjustments that are made on defense, including, you know, parking Cody Ceci in the press box and then taking Desharnais out, that's Paul Coffey making that decision. And furthermore, Glenn Gullitson, I know this for fact, Glenn Gullitson would have been hired as an NHL head coach if the Oilers didn't go to Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final. That's how respected he is, and he's super close in a very good way with McDavid, Draisaitl, and the forward stars of the Oilers. That staff is as good as any.
Yeah, well, what a season it was for them, and started with just, you know, the terrible start, and then they were that close.
That loss to San Jose? Ouch.
Yeah,
that was tough.
Hey, Darren, great to see you.
Thank you.
As always, in person.
Are we doing this again next week, or am I done? I think I'm done.
You're done. You're on vacation mode.
Really? Yeah, for sure.
Because, that quickly?
Well, I'm driving west on July 2nd.
Yes.
So if we have Wi-Fi somewhere around Thunder Bay, Ontario,
you won't.
Maybe. The only way, like, I'll tell you this, be on standby, because if there's more news past July 1 that is Sabres related, big signings, whatever, we'll give you a call. Maybe we'll just get you on the phone.
As soon as I see Jeff's number come through, I'm just going to go.
Do you have a province you'll be residing mostly in
Manitoba.
Manitoba.
Which is sacrilege, because I'm from Saskatchewan.
That's what I figured.
However, the lake that I have my place on, Lake of the Prairies, we bought on the Manitoba side because it faces west, and you get the sun.
Yeah.
And all my Saskatchewan buddies are on the other side.
Staring
at
Manitoba.
Mad at me. Yeah, they think I'm a turncoat for buying in Manitoba.
How wide is the lake?
Huh?
How, like, wide? A
couple kilometers wide,
okay,
yeah.
So.
But I'm also on the golf course side, so it was very selfish.
Nice job for you.
Yeah, it's excellent.
Great job, as always. Thank you.
Thank you, fellas.
And
another good year.
Once we get through all this, have a great weekend and a great summer.
I plan to. Thank you.
Darren Dreger, Hockey Insider from TSN. Chris Peters, talking prospects when we come back on Sabres Live.